Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel media and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 15 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in English and numerous other languages are available to you all the time and anytime on the website twr360.org. That's twr360.org. Thousands are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. For the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from the closing verses of Daniel chapter 2. Our study is titled, A Forever Kingdom. In the beginning of our study, we noted that God reveals in this text His forever kingdom through a series of divine actions. The first action we looked at was an answer obtained. In response to the prayers of Daniel and his three friends, God answered their prayer, and He revealed the king's dream. The second action we looked at was an image explained. Here, Daniel rehearses the dream, and then he explains the image and its various parts. Now, as we return to our study, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 2, and verses 24 to 49. Therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed, to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Then Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king, and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me, because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, were watching, and behold a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. This image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron, insomuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything. And like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all the others. Now, the Medo-Persian Empire, led by Cyrus the Great, would have been inferior in quality to Babylon from Nebuchadnezzar's viewpoint. And it was also in reality. The Medo-Persian monarchs could not annul a law once it went into effect. So that restricted the absolute authority of the king. The use of the word inferior means inferior in quality, but not necessarily inferior in every aspect. Obviously, gold is of greater value than silver or bronze. But Persia actually controlled more territory than Babylon, and the Greek Empire was larger than Persia. However, neither of those empires had the kind of central organization that the Babylonian Empire had. Then, the kingdom that succeeded Medo-Persia was Greece, under Alexander the Great. Its territory was even larger than that of Medo-Persia. And Greece dominated the ancient world from 331 to 31 BC. Then, the kingdom that succeeded Medo-Persia was Greece, under Alexander the Great. Its territory was even larger than that of Medo-Persia. And Greece dominated the ancient world from 331 to 31 BC. It lasted longer than either Babylonia or Medo-Persia. However, after Alexander the Great died in 323 BC, the empire split into four parts, and each of Alexander's generals took a part. So Greece lacked the unified strength of Medo-Persia and Babylonia. Its democratic form of government also gave more power to the people and less power to the rulers. Now, the descending value of the substances in this image seem to suggest the degeneration of the human race through the ages. But notice this, that the decreasing value of the materials is countered by their increasing strength. This leads us to expect an increase in military power and might during the times of the Gentiles. And also note that the third empire ends at the thighs of the image. And that third empire, Greece, controlled territory in both the Eastern and Western worlds. This becomes significant in analyzing the fourth empire. And that brings us to the fourth kingdom represented by the image. Daniel gives more attention to this kingdom than any of the other kingdoms. This fourth kingdom seems to encompass ancient Rome, but then also to reach beyond it to a time that's yet in the future. The fourth kingdom will be as strong as iron, the strongest of materials, and yet it will be mixed with clay. It will dominate all the other kingdoms, breaking them in pieces and crushing them. In fact, the original wording is a double verb, crush and demolish. While the Roman legions were famous for their ability to crush all resistance under their iron heel. But because the feet are a mixture of iron and clay, there would be mingled strength and weakness. Iron and clay don't stick well to each other. And the clay here is hardened clay. Ancient literature uses the same word to mean a formed pottery object, whether complete or broken. Notice how Daniel emphasizes this mixture of iron and clay in verses 34 and 35, and then again in verses 40 through 43. He spends more time explaining this than any other part of the image. So this fourth kingdom is hard, but it's also brittle. And this weakness in the feet especially indicates the instability of the entire image. You know, in English, we have an idiom that I think probably developed from this portion of scripture. When we know someone who has a hidden flaw or a character weakness, we say, they have feet of clay. The kingdoms of men cannot endure against the kingdom of God. Verse 43 suggests to us that the mixture of iron and clay is weak because of the diversity of peoples in this fourth kingdom. and one aspect of the Roman Empire was its incredible diversity of peoples and languages and local governments. It embraced peoples and cultures from both the East and from the West. And ultimately, in the final earthly kingdom, at the end of the age, this incredible diversity breaks out into a gigantic civil war. Forces from the South, the East, and the West will contend with the ruler of the Mediterranean area for supremacy. That's according to Daniel chapter 11 and verses 36 to 45. It's important to note that Daniel's prophecy seems to skip over the time from the Roman Empire until the final kingdom set up by the God of heaven. But you know, this kind of gap is not uncommon among the prophetic texts in the scripture. Let me give you just one example from Acts chapter 2. In this text, Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, and he quotes the prophet Joel. Listen to what Peter says. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now clearly, the first part of Joel's prophecy was fulfilled at Pentecost. God poured out his spirit on the believers, and they spoke in languages they had never spoken before. And there were even some signs in nature in connection with the death and resurrection of Jesus. But the sun was not turned into long-term darkness, nor was the moon turned to blood. Notice that will happen before the great and awesome day of the Lord. That day is still in the future. But the gap is not even mentioned by Peter. He just quotes the whole prophecy. And there are many other examples in Scripture just like this one. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, A Forever Kingdom. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, A Forever Kingdom. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, A Forever Kingdom, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, A Forever Kingdom. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.